Let's continue in prayer. God, thank you for the privilege we have of being here in your presence, the presence of Christ the King. Grant us the grace in these moments to acknowledge you, your presence, your lordship. Grant us the grace to open our ears to hear what you, the King, would say to us. Help us to listen. And by the power of your Spirit, so to live that we might be a part of bringing glory to your name and good to this world. Amen. So as Pastor John mentioned, today is Christ the King Sunday, the end of the church year. We begin the church year with Advent, so we start that up next week, looking toward the first coming of Jesus. And then we go through the whole year and come to Christ the King Sunday, where we acknowledge that Jesus will return, that he'll come and he'll sit on the throne of his glory. That there's coming this day when we will actually, literally stand before Jesus. And how we've lived our lives, what we've said and not said, what we've done and what we haven't done, will be exposed to us and to all. We're no secrets anymore. It makes me think of what we've been seeing in the papers recently, all of these, well, powerful men in particular, having their actions exposed. They've abused their powers. They've taken advantage, especially of women, but certainly of others as well, who are under their influence, their control, and done harm. And it's a great thing, I got to say, that it's coming to light. It'd be a great thing if we would actually learn as a society, and certainly those of us here, to treat people with respect, whether they are above us or below us in terms of societal values. There's an opportunity for us right now, even though it's painful and some really hard things are taking place. I was sitting with my son Mark earlier this week eating breakfast, and we were looking at the paper together, and yet another one of these revelations had come out. And we were talking about it, and one of the things I shared with him was how a principle that I've tried to live by is that I wouldn't do anything that I'd be ashamed to have on the front page of the paper. That I want to live in such a way that people might disagree with the choice I made or the word I spoke, but I'd be able to say, no, I stand by what I did, I stand by what I said, and here's why. I'm not saying I get that perfectly, but, you know, it's not a bad thing for us to know that our actions and our words matter, and that God actually cares about it, and that we ought to as well. Christ the King Sunday is one of those days, the day really out of the whole year, in which we remember this central Christian doctrine teaching that how we live our lives matters to God and needs to matter to us. The gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 25, and it's actually the last teaching of Jesus before he goes to the cross. Matthew, this gospel, is focused on the teachings of Jesus. You might remember that beginning in chapter 5, they have the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew, more than any of the other gospel writers, focuses on Jesus' authority as a teacher and the importance of those of us who would be his disciples to listen to his teaching and to do what he says, to follow him. And in the chapter just before this, chapter 24 of Matthew, we have Jesus telling us to be alert, stay awake, be prepared. Know that what you do with what God's given you, the resources, the life he's given you, it matters. That when the master comes back to the servants who have been entrusted with these resources, if they haven't done anything with them, the master's not going to be happy about that. That we're called to live with what we've been given as fully as we can. And after all of this teaching, we come to today's passage, which is the culmination of all these teachings. In the time in which everybody stands before the throne. So may God grant us ears to hear and respond to Jesus' teaching. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will be seated on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" Then the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. I was naked and you gave me no clothing. Sick and in prison and you did not care for me." Then they also will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not care for you?" And he will answer them, "Very truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Just let you sit with that for a moment. That word of the Lord. What do we do with such a hard teaching? Do you think it actually matters to God how we live our lives? Do you think God really cares whether we care for the poor and the needy, the hungry and the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned? Do these lives of ours, does it matter to God, to us? Jesus wants to be very clear here. Matthew, including this at the very end of all these teachings of Jesus, wants to be very clear here that our lives make a difference, that how we live them, what we say, what we don't say, what we do, what we don't do, that it really does matter. Now, I want to be clear. This passage of Scripture, Matthew 25, 31 through 46, is not the whole of the gospel, not the whole of the Scriptures. It's dangerous anytime we take one story, one parable, one teaching, and try to make the whole gospel out of it. This is one among others in the New Testament. This passage is not teaching that we're saved by our works, by our good deeds. The Scriptures are very clear about this. If you read the whole of the New Testament, there's no question that we are saved by the grace of God, the love of God, by simply putting our faith, our hope in God. That's the way to salvation. That's the way in which we stand before the throne. Most religions in the world will teach you, you got to have at least more good stuff than bad stuff if you want to stand before the throne and make it to heaven. That's not the teaching of the Bible. That's not the teaching of the gospel. The teaching of the gospel is that we all fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us, no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we work. That we need to put our faith in the love of God and believe that for all of our sin, for all of our failures, that God's love will be enough, will see us through. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 2 when we read these words. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not the result of works. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, so that no one may boast. We stand before the throne trusting in the grace of God. And if you haven't done that, if you're still working to get God to love you, I would invite you this morning to give that up and to trust in God's love this morning. But I want you to understand, Jesus wants us to understand that there's more to life than just trusting the love of God. We talk about being born anew to this new life in Christ, and the Scriptures are also very clear that we're called to live that life, this life in Christ. That we who have been so loved are called to live sharing that love with others. That's what Paul says in the very next verse here in Ephesians chapter 2. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the way we're called to live. It's by living out this love that we've received, that we've experienced in God. To do otherwise is to be a hypocrite. Can you imagine that in the church, that there would be hypocrites? People who say we follow Jesus, but they don't really follow Jesus. If our lives don't show that we've been filled with the Spirit of Christ, then we got to wonder if we've been filled with the Spirit of Christ. If our life doesn't show that we've got a new life in Jesus, that our life is somehow, because we are in Jesus, different than others around us, then we got to wonder, are we really alive? You know, the word hypocrite goes back to the ancient world in which actors would get up on the stage and they'd take a mask and put it in front of their face. And suddenly you'd be lost in the story. You'd forget that they're that person behind the mask. And you just for a while at least believe that they're this character, this mask that they have in front of their face. The problem in life is when we start thinking this mask is who we really are, or that God really believes that we're just this mask. We're not really the person standing behind it. In fact, Jesus, he makes this so clear in Matthew chapter 23. This is just before we get to today's passage. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Over and over again, woe to you, blind guides. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you tithe mint, dill, and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You see, Jesus actually does care how we live. He cares whether we live out the life, whether we'll take off those masks and by the power of God seek to live out this new life that he's given us. Now, it's clear that we might, if we're not, our lives aren't showing that fruit of our new life in Christ, if we're not living in love for one another and our neighbor, that maybe we haven't come alive at all. But I'd like to be a little more generous with each other this morning. I'd like you to be a little more generous with me. Because it might not just be that we haven't come alive, that we haven't received new life. It might be that we just haven't learned how to live this new life in Christ. That we need to get better at it. You know, I think about this little kitten that was given, well, actually it was discovered by a man who comes to our church named Jim. Found this little kitten and brought it in, took care of it. He passed it on about a week or two ago to Patrice, who's on our church staff here, and she's been caring for the little kitten. And she's looking for somebody else now to pass it on to, by the way. It's really cute. But she was telling me how this little kitten doesn't know how to be a cat. It got away from its mom too early on. It hasn't been around another cat enough to learn what it needs to learn. That there's some things that come by instinct for it, but there are other things that it just can only learn by watching another cat. And this cat is a little behind the curve on that. Her cat is teaching it. We have a dog named Chip. I've talked about him before. He came from a rescue group. When we first got Chip, he didn't really know how to be a dog entirely. He didn't certainly know how to be a part of a family. He was too nervous, too scared of everything. He didn't know how to do the stairs, go up or down them. He would stumble going either way. I took him down by a lake, and the water just lapping really gently, and he jumped back because he's afraid of it. He'd be around family members who love him, but he would be afraid of them and certainly of our friends. But over time, he's come to know that we love him and that he's secure around us. I mean, you can see him here in the picture. He's by Lake Superior, and he's not afraid. He's with family members, and he's loving it. He's learned that he's loved, that he's secure. And as long as he knows he's loved, as long as he knows he's secure, the best comes out of him. It's a lot like us, actually. Still, when he gets insecure, when he gets afraid, he'll start to bark. He'll crash the door because he's afraid. He becomes reactive when he's nervous. Boy, do we see that right now in our society. When we're afraid, when we're nervous, anxious. But the gospel lesson is that we are loved, that we're secure, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, nothing, neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take a deep breath. And know you are loved. And knowing you are loved, you can learn the way of love, the life of love, by looking to Jesus, by following his example. This is what the Apostle John is talking about in 1 John chapter 4, where he writes, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." That's how we can tell we're alive in God, is by our love. "Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love." See, this is that lesson, that if you really know God, this is why it's so important to get to know God better and better, to read the scriptures, to let God speak to you. Because the more we know God, the more we know God loves us, the more we know that we're secure, the more we know that we are centered in Christ, and in Christ we can love one another, we can love our world. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. So I want to invite you this morning to realize your life matters. That how you live matters to God. It matters to the world around you. Matters to me and to this church. I want you to look to Jesus. You know, he's the one who, on that last night, John chapter 13, as the disciples were gathered around the table, he broke the bread and gave it to them and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood," as he handed them the wine, "shed for you." Jesus, the one who took off his robe and wrapped the servant's towel around him and went and washed each one of the disciples' feet. Even Judas, by the way. And he said to them, and these are words for us to keep in mind on Christ the King Sunday, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." So I want to invite you this morning to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus and know that you are loved. God proves his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet God's enemies, Christ died for us. Look to Jesus and know that you are loved. And look to Jesus and see the example of what a truly, fully human life looks like. That you can live that life too. That you can follow Jesus on this pathway of love. Look to Jesus and know you are loved. Look to Jesus and learn how to love, how to live. I'd invite you this morning to pray for Jesus' Spirit. Pray for his Spirit to help you believe this good news that you're loved, to believe that God loves you. Pray for his Spirit to help you, fill you, empower you to love your neighbor, to love one another, to love even your enemies. Pray for Jesus' Spirit. And third, I would invite you to just go practice. Practice love. You know, we hear that if you do something for 10,000 hours, you actually get really good at it. Let's try practicing love for 10,000 hours, for a lifetime. Let's practice love. You don't have to be perfect at it. In fact, you're not going to be perfect at it, and you'll learn when you fail. But make love your goal. Make it practical. That's another part of that word practice, right? It's not just warm and fuzzy. It's practical. It's real. It's costly. It's sacrificial. Practice love. Try stuff. Just try loving your family member, your friend, that person that annoys you. Just try it. Try stuff. I think of Shelley Streeper, our outreach director, talking about how she was afraid to go into the prisons. It scared her. And so she did it. She went to a prison ministry, and she discovered that the people in prison were just like her, except that they were in prison. She was afraid to go to the homeless shelter. But she went there, and she just kind of, first of all, went through the motions of making the food or cleaning up the food, keeping her distance. But now, when she goes down to First Covenant Minneapolis, where Norm is the coordinator, she not only fixes meals and cleans up, but she'll go sit with people and enjoy their company. You see, just take your next step, practice love, and see what God does with that, how he changes your heart and brings love alive, not only for you, but through you. God, help us to be people who aren't just looking for love, but practicing love in our world. We can't do this on our own. We need a community like this. We can't do all the jobs. We can't meet all the needs. You're going to have to say no as well as yes. But together, as we support each other, as we pray for one another, as we give generously to the ministry of Christ around the world, we can practice love. We can reveal to the world the love of God that we celebrate this morning. So I want to invite you, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to live this life we've been given. Let us look to Jesus, pray for his Spirit, and practice, practice, practice love. Would you pray with me? Lord, we praise you, for you are the way, the truth, and the life. As we look to you, we come to understand who God is, how deeply we are loved. And as we look to you by the power of your Spirit, with the encouragement of one another, oh God, we know, step forward from here to more fully follow you, the way, the truth, and the life. By your grace, help us to do this. That especially those who are poor, those who are in need, those who are struggling in our world, that especially they may be loved in practical, life-giving ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.